And this is talking about our Lord's suffering for our sins. Mr. Spurgeon said, like the Ethiopian did, who is this man speaking of, himself or some other man? Well, he said himself and some other man. And the Lord, you know, and this psalm is quoted more times in the New Testament, second only to the 22nd Psalm. This psalm has more quotations in it from the New Testament that our Lord Jesus Christ was spoken about him, or he himself used the words himself. So here we have a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ suffering for us. Look at that very first verse. I'm just going to go down here through it verse by verse. And it says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come unto my soul." You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, his enemy said to him, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. And our Lord Jesus Christ is our substitute, one bearing our sins, could not possibly save himself. But instead of trying to save himself, he offered himself up as a sin offering and sacrifice for us, to save us from our sins, to save our souls. And then our Lord Jesus Christ, and it says that he that the waters are come into my soul. Our Lord's greatest sufferings were the soul agonies that he had. And when it says, you know, "Hear me, O my God, save me, O my God." You know, Hebrews 5:7 says this, that in the days of his flesh, he was heard for his much crying, for his crying and his tears. And our Lord Jesus Christ, God heard him for his crying and his tears. Look at the second thing it says about him now. He said in verse 2, I sink in deep mire where there's no standing. I'm come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Our Lord calls his position under our sins deep mire. Deep mire. Called them deep waters. And you know, when you find mire in the scriptures, it speaks of sin. He hath picked me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And they sent Jeremiah down into a pit. And there was no water in that pit. There was just mire. And the scripture said he sunk up into that mire. And you know, we've been in, Gary knows it and other people knows it. You get out in this mire, especially dealing with cattle and stuff, and they pull the boots right off your feet. It's so thick. Well, that's what he's talking about. And it stinks and it sticks to you. So mire is like sin. And it's filthiness and it's hold on men. And deep waters, our Lord said here, deep waters have come to me. And in the deep waters, there's no place to stand. And he said, the waters overflow my head. And the judgment of God sometimes is described as waters that come over. And the judgment of God flooded over our Lord Jesus Christ. Overflowed him. And our Lord Jesus Christ is not a weakling. He was not a faint-hearted person. But all, beloved, his sufferings were real. And they were terrible. And he's describing his sufferings here. Look at the third verse. He said, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for God. You know, it's often, I've seen our Lord Jesus Christ, he wept as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I know of twice that he wept, and I don't know how many times he wept when he went off to pray, because the scripture said he was heard for his crying and for his tears. And I know this, that you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ being in such soul agony that he would weep and cry. And our Lord, he prayed until he sweat great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the scripture said his throat was dry and parched under the fire of God's wrath against our sins. And when he was on that cross, he cried and said, I thirst! I thirst! He looked and waited for God to come, but he is left alone, crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I wait for God. And he said, God didn't come. He said, I cried, oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then look what it says in verse 4. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored not that which I took away. You know, there's two places where they hated me without a cause. I said about our Lord Jesus Christ. When he was, all the things that was done to him and all the things that was said to him. From the day that our Lord Jesus Christ was born and placed in that manger till he went to his cross, his enemies are without number. He was hated, he was despised, he was rejected. And his enemies were many. And look what he says, and they were mighty. Mine enemies, they hated me wrongfully, and they're mighty. The people that was against our Lord Jesus Christ were mighty people. Priests, scribes, Pharisees, kings. Why, the kings of the earth have written against thine anointed. And they got a conspiracy against God himself and said, let's put this man out of business. And beloved, they started doing that. And all these hell and all the enemies of Christ despised him and hated him without a cause. Pilate said three times, I find no fault in this man. Find no fault in this man. And then he said, I restored that which I took not away. He didn't take our life away, Adam did, but he restored it. He didn't take away our righteousness, but he restored it. He didn't take away our standing with God, but he restored it. He didn't take away... He restored us and took away all of our sins. And our Lord Jesus Christ, and though he was innocent, he was treated as the one that was guilty. The shepherd went astray. And you know what happened when the shepherd went astray? They smote the shepherd. Smote the shepherd. And on their behalf, he restored the majesty and honor and magnified the law of God. And I tell you what, and he brought us and restored our acceptance with God Almighty. And now in verse 5, O God, thou knowest my foolishness and my sins are not hid from me. Now David might truly say this, but not our Lord. We can't say he was foolish, and he never said he was foolish. But unless this refers to his sins being imputed and laid to his charge, because he was made to be sins for us. And I tell you what, my sins, when he took our sins, he says, they're not hid from thee. They was put right out there in front. And he was hung on that cross because of sin being laid on him. And oh, listen, this is a mysterious thing to me. Listen to what he says here in verse 6. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake. What our Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, those that wait on you and those that seek you, don't let them be ashamed, don't let them be confounded because of the way I died. Because I crucified, because I died a criminal's death, because I was taken by the hands of men that hated me without a cause and was publicly executed, publicly nailed to a cross. He said, don't let them be ashamed of that. Don't let them be confounded over that for my sake. He said, oh Lord, don't let them. And I tell you what, we've come to the place where, like Paul said, we're not ashamed of the gospel. And Paul talked about, why wasn't he ashamed of the gospel? Because it was the gospel of Christ and him crucified. Oh, listen, you know who was ashamed of Christ when he was crucified? All of his disciples were, and they walked off and left. But oh, bless his holy name. Oh, listen, I bear their shame. So let them don't be shamed. I bear their confoundedness. Don't let them be confounded. Let them never be ashamed. Never let them be confounded because of what I did, because I did it for their sakes. And oh my, God help us. There's a hymn, I think, Ashamed of Jesus. Can it be? I forget what one it is, but it's in our book. Ashamed of Him? How can it be? Ashamed of Him who died for me? Ashamed to own my Lord Jesus Christ? But that's what He said. Lord, don't let them be ashamed. Don't let them be confounded. Oh my. And then verses 7 and 8. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. Now it says, because I've borne reproach, I've borne the reproach of those who reproach me. I've borne it. And He died for our sake, to save us, to redeem us. But God set Him forth to be a mercy seat, so God could declare His righteousness. And look what He says now. Even He said, I am become a stranger unto my brethren, alien unto my mother's children. You know, His brother said in John chapter 7, He said, if you be the Christ, you go up there to Jerusalem and you perform all kinds of miracles and let us see you. Go, you know, don't hide yourself. Go up there and show yourself. If you're who you really say, because the Scripture says, neither did His brethren believe on Him. He is an alien to His own people, to His brothers and His sisters. And oh my, but our Lord Jesus Christ did this that God might be just and the justifier of them that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look here in verse 9 and 10. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach me fell on me. Reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was my reproach. Now you remember when our Lord Jesus Christ went into the temple. They were changing money, selling sacrifices. He went in there and was very angry. Turned over them tables of them money changers. You said, you've turned my father's house into a house of merchandise. And he turned it over and went to throwing money away and turning over tables and telling them to get out. And that's where it says, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And you know, some men are eaten up with pride. Oh, eaten up with pride. Even eaten up with covetousness. Oh, eaten up with hatred. But oh, you know what our Lord Jesus Christ was eaten up with? His Father's glory. His Father's will. Eaten up with the truth. Eaten up with accomplishing the work that my Father, our Father sent Him to do. It's what ate Him up. That was His passion. When they said, they come to Him and said, listen, brought Him something to eat. And He said, listen, I've got meat to eat you know nothing about. And they said, what? Somebody brought Him food. He said, oh, my meat, my food, my soul food is to do the will of Him that sent me. Yeah. And that's what He said. And oh my. And I tell you, then it talked about the zeal, when I wept and chastened myself, the hatred of men for God, the hatred for men of men for God fell on the Lord Jesus Christ. All the reproaches about God and all the hatred people had for God, it all fell on the blessed Son of God. All fell on Him. And then it says this, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was my reproach. And what He's saying here, everything I did and everything I said only increased their reproach for me. Mm-hmm. Increased their hatred for me. Uh-huh. And then look what He said in verse 11 and 12. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb unto them. They that sat in the gate speak against me. And I was the song of the drunkards. Now when he said I was made in sackcloth garment, what he's talking about, he was identified with us in our poverty. What did we have? Huh? What did we have? I bet my garment was a sackcloth. And oh my, he identified with us in our poverty. And what he had to do is he had to lay aside his eternal glory and clothe himself in flesh. And oh, that's the most humbling thing our Lord did, was that he came down here and took upon him flesh, became a man, and being found in fashion as a man. Oh my. And oh, that should have won him acclaim. That should have won him honor. That should have won him glory. It only increased their markings. He said, I became a proverb to them. And then those that sat in the gate, you know, the elders and those that sat in the gate, the wise men, the wealthy men, the powerful men, they sat at the gate. Job used to sit at the gate and said, those that sit at the gate, they speak against me. When I go through the gates, they speak against me. There goes that imposter. There goes that blasphemer. There goes that Samaritan. There goes that man who says he's the Son of God. And oh my. And then I was the song of the drunkards. Oh my. When the drunk, you know, the drunk get out there in the street singing, and they would sing, they made Christ to be their song. Oh my. All men by nature. I know this in the depth of my soul. Not only because the Bible says it, but I know it from experience, and I know it by how I see what other men do, and how lost people do, and even how we as believers do. I know that all men by nature hate the living God and hate His blessed Son and the way of salvation by it. I mean, they hate it. They hate it. And hate Him. And then verse 13 through 18. I'll just go through these quickly and come back and comment on them. But as for me, my prayer is unto Thee. I cried out to Thee, O God, and I cried out in an acceptable time when I went to the garden. O God, in the multitude of Thy mercy, hear me. Hear me in the truth as Thy salvation. Deliver me out of this mire. Deliver me from this sin that I'm bearing. Let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me. Let me be delivered, saved out of the deep waters. And don't let the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. And oh Lord, don't let the pit shut her mouth upon me. Don't put me in the ground and let me leave me there. Oh no. Hear me, O Lord. For Thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Hide not Thy face from Thy servant. For I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. While they mocked and scoffed our Lord Jesus Christ, you know what our Lord did? He prayed. He prayed. Here in these verses that I read, his prayer was for victory. Oh, God, save me. Save me out of this. Let this be done. Save me from them that hate me. Save me from this mire. Save me from this water going over my head. He prays for victory and salvation according. And then he said, Thy tender mercies. There in verse 16. Hear me, O Lord God, for Thy loving kindness and Thy tender mercies and according to Thy salvation. And oh my, that's what he did. He looked to God's tender mercies. And oh, how tender God's mercies are. And oh, how good is God's loving kindness. And according to the truth and promises of Thy salvation. And here He speaks as our representative. And as such, he waits for deliverance. Our deliverance and our redemption, that's ours. And then here's three words in verse 19. Three words that describe our Lord Jesus Christ and what he was going through at the time. Thou hast known my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. Three things about our Lord Jesus Christ speaks here about him. Reproach. You know, all the contempt that was poured upon him because of our sins. And this has something to do with our Lord's servant. First of all, reproach. How they reproached him. How they ridiculed him. And then, oh, the next one is shame. How they despising the shame. Oh my. And then look what the next is. And dishonor. Oh, did anybody ever suffer dishonor as the Lord Jesus Christ did? He who should have been honored and glorified more than anybody else was treated the worst than anybody else. And what makes his sufferings and his treatment so awful? Because of who it is that they mistreated. You and I deserve to suffer. We deserve to suffer. Yeah. I mean, we got a right to reason to suffer our sin and under the curse. But Christ, all of his suffering was for somebody else. For us, for our sins. Oh my. And we deserve all three of them. But he bore them in our place. Huh? Oh my. And then look what it says in verse 20 and 21. Oh, this is something. Reproach has broken my heart. And I am full of heaviness. And I look for some to take pity. But there were none. I look for comforters. But I found none. And then when I got thirsty, you know what they gave me? To eat? Gall. When I was thirsty, you know what they gave me? Vinegar. Vinegar. Our Lord Jesus Christ died with a broken heart. The scripture says, you know, when that pierced him with that, his heart burst. That's where the blood come out. But our Lord died with a broken heart. He went there with a heavy heart. And before he went to the cross, his heart was so heavy. His soul was so troubled. He said, Father, if there be some other way, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And oh my. And then he was there in his loneliness and his reproach and heaviness that was upon him. And there's no suffering quite like our Lord Jesus Christ. And with his thirst, they gave him gall and vinegar. And then it says there, he looked for pity. And there was nobody there to show him any pity. He sought for comforters, but he didn't find any. And whatever he was looking for, there was nobody there. Nobody there. Nobody there. Our captain of our salvation, he went on the battlefield and he went there by himself. And when he should have had an army behind him, standing for him and standing with him, he went on the battlefield by himself. And he defeated every enemy on that battlefield. And he come back with a bloodstained garment. Bless his holy name. And he came back because of that blood-covered garment. And beloved, he went to that cross and he come out as white and as pure and without our sins on him anymore. Huh? Oh my. He went to that battle by himself. He by himself purged our sins. And I tell you, we didn't have nothing to give him then. We ain't got nothing to give him now.
That's right.
And we got nothing, and he gave us everything.
Amen.
Oh, boy. And I tell you what, look in verse 22 through 28. Now our Lord calls for judgment upon rebels, and He calls for a curse upon the despisers of the Lord Jesus Christ. First thing He says, let their table become a snare unto them, and that should be for their welfare, let it become a trap. Our Lord telling here said, you know, let their table become a snare unto them. That's used in the New Testament. And what He's saying here is, let all their ceremonies, all their tables, all their types, all the things that they should have seen Christ in, let it become a stumbling block to them. Let it be a hindrance to them. Let it be a trap for them. The things they look to and trust in, let it become a trap for them. And then He says this, let their eyes be darkened. Oh, when they should, when they had the lie of the world, He said, close their, let them, their eyes be darkened, so they'll never be able to see. Oh my, that's an awful thing to say. God's, our Lord's praying this, let their eyes be darkened. They didn't want to see, now they can't see. They was born in darkness, they'll live in darkness, and they'll die in darkness. And let their loins continually shake. Let them walk with fear all the days of their life. And then He said in verse 20, pour out your indignation on them. Let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Oh my. And I tell you what, let their habitation be desolate and let none dwell in their tents. Oh, listen to what He said. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten. Christ was smitten and afflicted of God. But you know what He says here? They persecuted Him. They persecuted Him. Instead of praising Him and being thankful for it and understanding what is said in the Old Testament about Him doing that. And they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Oh, they go around talking about me because I was wounded by you. And He said, I just want you to do this unto them. Add iniquity unto their iniquity. Just make them sinner, wickeder and wickeder and wicker, and let them not come into thy righteousness. And listen to this now. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and be not written with the righteous. Oh my. You know what? He said the books were open. Over in Revelation. And even a book about the dead. About the dead. And that's what He's saying here. Oh my. Bottom out of the book of life. There's a Lamb's book of life, and then there's the book of life. He said, take them out of it. Don't even let them have a life here or hereafter. But look what our Master said now about Himself. He returns to prayer and to praise. He said, but I am poor, poor and sorrowful. And oh my, he was poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me on high. Lord, I went so low. Now, lift me up. Exalt me. Give me that name that's above every name. Set me on that throne of the right hand of yourself. And then he says, you know what I'm going to do? He said, I'm going to praise thy name with a song. And I'm going to magnify you with thanksgiving. He said, I'm going to do that. Oh my. Even in the depths of agony, I'm going to praise and magnify him. In verse 31 and 32, listen to what it says here. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns. What is it? God of Christ in His agony will praise Him with a song and magnify Him with thanksgiving. And then the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall seek the Lord. God never found pleasure or satisfaction in the sacrifices of the Old Testament, but He's fully pleased, blessedly pleased, and reconciled us through His sufferings. And oh, listen, those who are taught of God, listen to what it says here. The humble shall see this, and I tell you what, they're glad. Is you glad? David talked about hearing that joyful sound of the gospel. And oh my, oh, those who are taught of God, they rejoice in Him. And they live and who seek God in Christ and love seeking God in Christ. We live because of Him.
Amen.
And then look what our Master said here in verses 34 through 35. For the Lord heareth the poor and despises not His prisoners. You know, the believers in their own eyes are poor and needy. They're prisoners. But because of what our Lord Jesus Christ did, we are in God's sight, sons of God and complete in Christ. Let the heaven and earth praise Him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. And oh, listen to this now. For God's going to save His people. He's not going to hear them. He'll hear them. He won't despise them. And He'll save them. And look what it says here. God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah that we may dwell in there. We're going to dwell in Christ. And Christ dwells in us. And then look at that last verse. The seed also of His servants shall inherit it. Oh my, what are we going to inherit? This city of Zion. This blessed place that God calls us to dwell in Christ. This perfection in Christ. This living in Christ, rejoicing in Christ. Oh my. And it says here, the seed of Abraham, the seed of His service shall inherit it. We are all heirs of God. And listen to what it says, and they that love His name, where they going to dwell? We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our Lord's sufferings. And this is His sufferings for us. And then He comes down and tells, because of all this suffering, what He's going to do for us. He's going to hear us. He ain't going to despise us. He's going to save us. And we're going to, our hearts are going to live, and we're going to rejoice in Him. And we've got an inheritance. His seed has an inheritance. Oh my. I tell you what, people are going to leave a lot of things to a lot of people. Oh, God's left us Himself. Left us His Son. Left us everything we need for time and eternity.
Right.
Oh, bless His name. Our Father, we thank You, bless You, and praise You for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your precious Word. Oh, Lord. It's impossible, utterly impossible for us to take the time and have the vocabulary and have the depth of heart and mind to dwell and delve into the sufferings and accomplishments of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible. But Lord, we bless You and thank You and praise You that You did it. And that You did it for Your people. And we thank You that You taught us these things. And really, truly, our heart loves You. Our heart rejoices in You. And our souls live because of You. And we praise You for it. Amen. Amen. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its praise. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Because He first